Praise the Lord. Would you turn tonight to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter? Luke, the 18th chapter. Brother Tim, I have very little voice, and if you could help me just a little bit on the monitors. Lord, it's been good to us. His presence has been so rich tonight. Even in the prayer room, there's just a real sense of the presence of the Lord. We need God. Amen. We're not much without Him, but with Him. Amen. With Him. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Heath, a few weeks back, brought a great exposition of Luke 17 and 18. I'm not going to have an exposition tonight. I just want to share some devotional thought to cap up our week of prayer and fasting, because I believe that prayer ought to continue, don't you? I believe there ought to be a continuation of prayer, not backing up any, but pressing forward in prayer. And so I want to share some devotional thought on that tonight. So if you'd stand for the reading of one verse, Luke 18 and verse 1. The scripture says, "And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want to preach tonight on pray, don't faint. Pray, don't faint. I want to perhaps give the emphasis tonight, however, to the word always. Always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray. Don't faint. Man, God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Brian and I and someone else, I can't remember whom, Friday night we were gathered together talking, and Brother Brian got to talking about the fainting goats. How many have seen a fainting goat? Yeah. Not very many. They're a smaller goat. They have a genetic mutation that when they are startled, they immediately fall over and their legs go stiff and they fall over and they're just like this. They actually don't faint. They never lose consciousness. The mutation causes them, when they're startled, to be instantly paralyzed. And so they'll be running around, and you can startle them. You can yell at them or something, and they'll just immediately stiffen, fall over on their side and back, and there's their feet. Look, it's like the mutation may be they got some possum in them or something. I don't know. Just like that. Well, tonight I'm not concerned about fainting goats. I'm concerned about fainting sheep. I'm concerned about fainting Christians, fainting souls, fainting people. I'm reading a real interesting book on the history of Niagara Falls. And in the late 1800s, they had the first man, Blondin, however you would pronounce his name, that stretched a cable across and tight-roped walked across the falls. And large crowds, up to 40,000 or more, gathered to watch him walk. At first, it was just sufficient for him to tightrope walk across the falls. Then he would do things like take a miniature stove with him, get in the middle, stop and sit down, and cook him eggs and bacon right there on the tight rope. And then he began to do other tricks like skip. And then he'd have this thing he'd like to do. He'd act like he would fall, and he'd catch himself with just his heels and hang by his heels. And the book quoted some newspaper articles about how the men would gasp, and then it said the women would swoon, faint. But the author of the book made a statement which is true. He quoted the newspaper article, "The women swooned," but he said, "Then again, in those days, women were always swooning." And it's true in that period of history. Every little thing they would faint. Then in those, it was fashionable for women to faint. But I kept hearing that in the back of my head. Then again, in those days, women were always swooning. On a serious note, in these days, people are always spiritually fainting. In these days, in days like these, I'm preaching tonight because I believe ours is a day when people are fainting. Faint means to pass out due to weakness, to pass out, lose consciousness due to distress, or to the loss of the blood supply to the brain. There is distress in the day we live in. The problems and difficulties that folks are facing do make us feel weak. And a real cause of fainting is the loss of the supply of God's Spirit and His grace to the heart of man. Ours is a day when people are fainting. Men are fainting, and as Jesus said, their hearts are failing them. Failing them. Failing them. In fact, in verse 8, it says here, Jesus, as He gets into the parable about prayer, He said, I tell you that God will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? People are fainting. They are weak spiritually, depleted emotionally. Amen. Overwhelmed physically and financially, fatigued mentally. Christians are faint. I want you to hear me, young people. I'm going to talk to you tonight too. It's not just adults with adults pressures that are fainting in the age that we live in. It's young people that are fainting. And if you think that's strange, way back in Isaiah, when the pressures were on Israel and the difficulties came upon Israel, the prophet said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men, the young people, shall utterly fall. It's an age of folks fainting. It's an age of churches fainting. Churches fainting. I talked with someone today, and their concern is that their church is dwindling down to nothing, and the doors, possibility of the doors being closed. Churches are fainting. So many have backslidden from those churches. So many churches have lost spiritual strength and vitality in life. They've lost attendance. They've lost support. The church you go in, it's weak in faith. It's weak in truth. It's weak in the move of the Spirit. But whether it be an adult, a Christian adult, a Christian young person, or a church, there is a solution to fainting. There is a cure to spiritual fainting. There is an answer. And Jesus tells us what it is. It's prayer. It's prayer. If you feel the faint coming on, you don't have to accept it. If you feel the weakness sweeping over you, you don't have to settle for that, because you can pray. There is a strength in prayer. Hallelujah. There is renewal in prayer. There is new life in prayer. There's new vitality in prayer. Hallelujah. There's an answer in prayer. There's joy in prayer. There's overcoming in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. You don't have to faint. You don't have to give in, give out, and give up. You can pray. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying men ought always to pray and not to faint. He's saying pray instead of fainting. One of the things they tell you physically, that if you feel like you're about to faint, they'll tell you to put your head down. Medical folks, am I right? I think it's good spiritually. Hallelujah, Brother Keith. If you feel a faint coming into your soul, get your head down. Hallelujah. Start praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray instead of fainting. If you're praying, you'll not be fainting. And if you're fainting, you'll not be praying. Amen. Jesus says, pray not only instead of fainting, but pray to prevent fainting. Amen. I've heard people being honest about their physical condition. They'll say, if I don't eat something in the morning, when I get up, I'll get fainting. I'll faint during the day. I've got to eat something to prevent fainting. Hallelujah. I believe prayer is a wonderful prevention to fainting. There are things that'll sap us, Brother May. There are things that will drain us. There are things that'll take the spiritual life from us, but we can get a jump on it. We can pray. Oh, pray will put iron in your soul. Hallelujah. I said pray and will put iron in your soul. Pray and will give you strength and vitality. Even Jesus is saying, not only pray instead of fainting, and pray to prevent fainting, but pray as a cure to fainting. In other words, you're already fainting. You're about to go out. I've seen folks, you know, they're fainting. Here they go. And somebody will say, here's a cracker. Here, eat this. You need to take this. You need to get this. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you may be fainting right now, tonight. Amen. But right now, even sitting in the pew, you can begin to pray. Hallelujah. You don't have to faint. You don't have to give up. Amen. You can pray. Hallelujah. To stop praying is to the soul, is what stopping to breathe is to the body. I said stopping to pray is to the soul, what stopping to breathe is to the body. Amen. As certain as our physical body needs breath, breath after breath after breath, our soul needs prayer after prayer after prayer. Prayer is the breathing of the soul. Some folks have been holding their breath and wondering why they're dizzy and fainting. Amen. You don't need to hold your breath spiritually. You need to pray. Amen. In, out, pray. Amen. Till strength comes into your very soul. Can you say amen? Before I quit tonight, I want to focus on the word always. That's what kept getting a hold of men. Men ought always to pray. I got help tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I got a hold of that word always. I believe Jesus is saying by always, men ought always to pray. He's saying pray instead of doing this. Pray instead of doing that. Amen. In other words, you should consider no other option. When you feel spiritually weak, you should consider no other option. Amen. Instead of doing anything else, you should pray. Amen. I know we have to have confidants and folks we can share with, but instead of sharing your problem with everybody around you, amen, pray instead of seeking diversion. Pray instead of turning to other sources. Pray instead of growing bitter. Pray instead of giving up. Pray instead of letting your spiritual life go. Pray instead of letting hope and faith disappear. Pray instead of becoming dry and withered and hopeless. Pray, men ought always to pray. I believe the always also means to pray in spite of things. Pray in spite of things. Amen. I always marvel, you know, I see the ironic side of life. I've heard folks give testimonies in church and say, oh, I was in the hospital and I was so sick. And Brother Hurst came to visit me. Brother Hurst prayed for me. And I got worse. How many has found sometimes you start praying and it gets worse? But in spite of it getting worse, men ought always to pray. It's getting worse, but in spite of that, pray. Amen. In spite of feeling with every fiber of your soul, you feel like giving up, but in spite of feeling that way, pray. In spite of feeling that prayer has become pointless and never is going to work, pray. In spite of doubts bombarding you, pray. In spite of busy schedules, in spite of overload, in spite of too many responsibilities, in spite of too little time, amen, pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I believe Jesus also means by always, he means continually. Men ought always to pray continually. Brother Heath brought out how this parable about prayer was tied into the second coming of the Lord. And one of the things he dealt with is there seems to be a delay between the announcement and the hope of Christ's coming and his actual coming. And what happens in the delay? People get discouraged. They give up. They get off track. And that's true about the coming of the Lord, but it's true about prayer. You begin to pray, but there's a delay before the answer comes. And folks get discouraged and give up. They pray for a little season. They pray in bursts, in fits. They pray just when the initial thing happens and the initial pain sets in and the initial shock of the situation comes. But Jesus said men ought always to pray. That means continually, without give up, without let up, amen, without hiatus, without break. Men ought to continually pray. I believe it also means pray throughout the day, pray every day, amen, always to pray, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until the answer comes. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray continually. I believe the word always also is in reference to in every situation. Unless it's something like cancer or someone lost, we've got to the point that there's very little time, few times you hear someone say, let's pray about it together. Getting ready to buy a new car. Folks used to would say, husband and wife would say, let's pray about the car God would have us have. Isn't that right? Amen. I believe when Jesus said men ought always to pray, he means in every situation. Amen. Sometimes you feel like it's something you don't need to pray about. Amen. But Jesus would say men ought always to pray. You may feel like you don't need to pray about it, but you do. Has there ever been something in your life, some decision that you kind of felt, I mean, you didn't verbalize it, but you felt like, I don't really need to pray about this. And then before things were done, you were saying, I wish I had prayed about this. Am I telling the truth? You know, some folks say it's a no-brainer. You got a job making $10.50 an hour. You get a call come in. You're as good as hired. We're going to pay you $25 an hour. Full benefits, 3 weeks vacation the first year. You say, hallelujah, I don't have to pray about that. I know God's will. Think of all the tithe I'll be paying. Preacher, I don't need to pray about that. God knows the end from the beginning. And when it's a situation you feel like you don't need to pray about, that's a sure sign it's a situation you do need to pray about. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray in every situation. Amen. You feel numb. You feel dried and cold, but you ought to pray even in that situation. When Jesus said men ought always to pray, I believe he meant wherever you're at, wherever you are at. I've thought many times, I've told you many times, and there's some folks that keep count of how many times I tell something, but going through St. Louis one time on I-44, amen, I came up to a guy and I looked over through the window and he had just the palms of his hands resting on the steering wheel. steering wheel. Tears were running down his face, and he was speaking in tongues and praying. I don't know how he is driving. I mean, he was just a praying. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe we need to always pray wherever we're at, whatever situation. We need to pray. George MacDonald, one of my favorite authors, of course, he wrote in a time before automobile, and people went to church largely by walking there. But he said simply, don't wait till you get to church to pray. Pray when you're walking to get to church. Don't wait till you get to church to pray. Pray when you're walking on your way to church. Just think, I know we have prayer before service, but Brother Dale, think what would happen if on the way to church, amen, folks got to pray, and some of you got quite a distance to drive, and I'm appreciative of that, and God notices that. But what if we, on the way to church in the automobiles, just started praying? Hallelujah. Oh, God, move in the service tonight. God, save somebody tonight. Hallelujah. If you got a family, it's easy getting ready for church in the heat of it, amen, to have less than pleasant things, pleasant trip to church. Am I right? Amen. We just walk to church, and no, we don't have no problem. Amen. Amen. But you get in the car, and you're still dealing with things, and still talking about things. Amen. But wouldn't it be wonderful, even before you got to church, to be praying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kids, you don't have just have to pray before the big test. There's a lot of praying that goes on there. They tried to take prayer out of school, but they weren't successful because there's still things like test. Amen. Never studied a lick. But when it comes time for the test, oh, you're getting spiritual. All of a sudden, you're praying, God, help me to pass some way, somehow. Amen. But you can pray at school in other ways. You can pray when you walk down the hallway. You can look around and see the mass of children that don't know the Lord. And you can pray for a revival at your public school. I believe men ought always to pray wherever they're at. You can pray on the walk to the break room. You can pray in the break room. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We don't need to faint. We can rise up the church powerful. Needs can be met. Strength can enter into the church and the believer. Things can be overcome. Victories can be won. The enemy can be defeated. It's not time to give up and give in and to throw in the towel. It's time to feel strength come as we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The preacher Meyer said it's not unanswered prayer that should bother us. It's unoffered prayer. Amen. Would you come, music? Several times lately, I've been around folks, dealing with folks that would say all of a sudden, I feel faint. I feel dizzy. I want to ask you tonight, are you here? Do you feel faint? Just be honest. You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer that. I'm talking about spiritually, maybe emotionally, mentally, however. But do you feel faint tonight? Just be honest before God. Because I want to read you. I want you to listen across the building. I'm done. But I want to read you from the prophet Isaiah. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Listen, he giveth power to the faint. That's why I wanted you to ask yourself the question, do you feel faint tonight? Because he giveth, he who does not faint, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Here it is, young people. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You can get so tired of just the peer pressure, the struggles young people go through, the unanswered questions, the apprehension of the future. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men, those that are supposed to be the strongest, the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. How do you wait upon the Lord? You pray. How do you wait upon the Lord? You pray. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Listen to me. Pray. Don't faint. You've been hurt. It's almost destroyed you. You feel so weak. But you can pray tonight. You don't have to let it conquer you. Are you faint? Do you feel faint tonight? Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what your need is. Maybe it's an undefined need. But maybe not. Maybe because of your need you feel faint. This is a time of utmost honesty. We're a church family. We love one another. The only thing we're concerned about is folks get help. But right now, if you'd be honest and just say, I feel faint, but I'm going to pray tonight, and I want others to help me pray. If that's you tonight, if you feel faint, amen. If you just be real honest and say, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, I feel faint, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Would you begin to come? Amen. And hold on to the promise of God that He doesn't faint. And He'll give you strength. And you can mount up with wings as eagles. Don't give up praying. Amen. Are there others that have come right now? You say, I feel faint. I feel faint. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need strength to come to my soul, to come to my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Others, would you come and begin to pray for these that have come? Could you do that? Amen. Come and pray for these that are already here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're not always to pray. I won't give in. I can call on Him.
Pray till you feel strength in your soul. Hallelujah.
I will pray. I will not faint. I will pray.
Mount up tonight.
In spite of everything, I won't give up.
Mount up with wings as eagles.
I can call on Him.